Excision number 23213, reel 3.
Major Potts, reel 3. What did you think of the quality of the anime you were up against?
I thought they were, on the whole, very good. They were dedicated to their cause. They wanted Malaya to be a communist state without any shadow of doubt. They were, majority of them were Chinese. Not very many were Malay. And the Malay being basically quite an idle sort of person, were in charge of the police. And all the lower ranks of the police were Malays. And I think this was a hindrance to building up a good intelligence base. So all I can say is what I've, from my own experience, they were pretty good.
Did the intelligence situation improve as time went on?
It did, as especially when we arrived up in Pahang.
What was the situation like up there when you arrived?
Could I just finish off Johor? And then I'll go up to Pahang. The only really big operation we had was when we cleared a squatter area, and we had to remove 200 or 300 squatters with all their belongings, pigs, the lot. The reason they were moved, police patrol had been ambushed and a number of policemen killed in the squatter area, and after we had cleared them, we went back about a week later, and we did manage to find a bandit camp, but due to our noise, the bandits had gone before we ever got near to making contact. Right, going into...
Do you remember what sort of scale of bandit camp?
It was a bandit camp, most probably 20 bandits. They were reducing in size because the big ones are fairly difficult to conceal from the ground, and they have to knock down all the undergrowth. Perhaps we weren't, the British, weren't as clever as we should have been at detecting them.
When you did the clearance of the squatters, how was that operation carried out?
We put a cordon around the squatter area. Then the police and the district officer arrived, and there was a broadcast, and if I remember rightly, they were given 2 hours to get out and take all their belongings and collect their animals, and then they were transported away to a new village.
What transport was there available?
Army three-tonners. Our three-tonners.
How did the squatters actually react when...
Oh, sullen. Sullen, and they weren't hostile, but they would have been hostile if they'd had a leader who, I think, had been allowed to be hostile. That's really all I can say.
What sort of numbers are we talking about in terms of squatters?
200?
It was a battalion operation.
No, it was only a company operation. Yeah, a company operation. See, the rest of the battalion, some of them were down at Kluang. One company was up at Sagarmat, and we were at Labis, really. Kluang was 50 miles south, Sagarmat was 20 miles north. Our battalion area was at least 100 miles long.
What happened to the squatter camp then once you cleared it?
We burnt it. Burnt the lot. Including all the grass, elephant grass, anything that could be used again.
Did you find any signs of contact with bandits when you were clearing?
No, but we did find one or two small dumps of food along the forest edge. That was why we went back to look for the camp along the track. But of course, the bandits had gone by the time, as I said, by the time we got there.
How far into the jungle was the bandit camp from the settlement?
I would say it was at least 1,000, if not 2,000 yards. Always very difficult in the jungle. It's generally one step forward and two steps back, if you know what I mean. Anyway, after that, we moved out of Labis Estate, and we went up to another estate just north of Labis, nearer to Sagamet, and carried out patrols. And then the rumor went round we were moving up to Pahang. I think it was the Charwala gave us the information. And then we moved up to Pahang. We went up to Gemas, which was a railway junction. One line went to Kuala Lumpur and one went up to North Malaya. We then joined an armoured train and were briefed for an op. On the way up, we were going as far as Temerloh. That was, I can't remember if it was our whole battalion or just our company plus others. Our transport had to go round via Kuala Lumpur because there was no central or east coast road in those days. We did disembark from the armoured train and we did an operation. Other troops were involved. We were only a stop troops. We even had close air support, Spitfires, machine gunning and that sort of thing. And I think one or two terrorists were killed. But
trying to come through your stop line.
No, killed by in the actual, where the troops were put in. I think it was on information. Coming on to your question about what was the information like in Pahang, by that time, a certain number of Chinese, there were a few before, but more, had been recruited as agents. And there was quite a lot of information passed to us. A lot of it was week old, so therefore you couldn't act on it. Or a lot of it was hearsay, often third, fourth, and fifth hand.
Unreliable.
Well, pretty unreliable anyway. So we moved to Temerloh, which was an administrative town in central Pahang, and the company, a battalion headquarters was there, and certainly one other company, but we were in different locations. We were in an old rubber factory.
Can I ask you, before we go on to Pahang, a bit more about the journey up, in particular the armoured train?
Well, the armoured train, you want to know what it looked like and what it was. The armoured train consisted of a flat at each end, a train in the engine in the middle, and I'm not certain how many coaches. I think there's probably about three, but they were cattle trucks. I mean, there was no refinements or anything like that. If you wanted to pee, you peed out the door. It was quite efficient, and the communist terrorists did try to derail the train on a number of occasions, but never when I was actually enjoying my rail journey through Malaya.
Were there guns on it? Was it an arm?
Only guns on it would have been the soldiers' guns. The train was driven by Malays, or Goanese, I think they were, and it had to be protected at night. So it always went into a station at night and was guarded.
You put a cordon around it.
Or a guard of some sort, yeah.
What did the armour consist of?
Well, the two flat trucks, one at each end, was covered in pig iron. And I'm not certain that there was any real... there was just wood. If you happened to be the wrong side when a bullet came through, that was your bad luck.
when you were deployed from the armoured train, do you remember the length of the perimeter you were holding when you were on the stop?
I think we were on half a dozen stop gaps, and I really can't remember. It seemed insignificant at the time.
Was there any movement or activity on the second?
Not on our company side. I think we were only there for half a day or a day. I can't remember. I think the guards by that time were the main people on the exercise. Well, not exercise, operation. I certainly can't remember very much about it. It didn't get me terribly worked up.
Okay, so you're in a rubber factory in
Temelo. Yeah. So when we arrived there, it wasn't what you'd call that comfortable. We put tents up, or we were sleeping in pretty poor accommodation. Of course, we didn't have navvies in those days. We just had charwallas, and you know, he had chocolate. I don't think many soldiers ate chocolate because it was hot and sticky and horrible. As long as he produced plenty of tea and egg banjos, he was a good chap.
What sort of fellow was he, this chap?
Oh, Indian. I think he was from the main contractor. He must have made a fortune out of us, because it was the only place in those days where we could really spend any money.
Was it just him on his own?
He had him and a boy. Mm. And a charcoal fire, which it went day and night, as far as I remember.
Kettle on all the time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, rather revolting tea. Mm. Now, our first job, I think it was the first job we did, we were told to go and clear the area around Chenor, which meant we had to cross the Pahang River at Temelo. We went across on a ferry. There had been a bridge, I understand, which was destroyed during the war. And we took trucks with us, which were, we had a little, if you like, camp. I think it was, or a small sort of guard place for trucks to stay that side of the river. And there was a Murrum Road as far as a village called, well, it was a small town called Chenor. Our job was from just beyond Chenor to escort a survey team who were aligning a road up to be built in the future from the main Kuala Lipis to Pahang Town Road, and if it came this way, we would save having to go right round via Kuala Lumpur, knocking 200 miles off, really, of travelling to get to Pahang. And I know it has been finished because I've travelled along it.
What's the motive for building this road, do you think? Primarily military one?
I think it was civilian. It joined Pahang up. Pahang was on a complete nutter, out on an arm. And it, you know, Pahang to Kuala Lumpur must have been quite a journey, because you had to go over the main ridge mountains. And it wasn't a very good road. So we were on that. I think we were on there for 2 or 3 weeks. I think the other companies did it as well later. We were, I think, the first. And they were putting pegs in, and they weren't Europeans. They were Malays. But we had no trouble on it. The terrorists made no threats, and there didn't appear to be any in the area.
What did you do then to secure this work?
We just went out. We established camps as we went along. We were supplied by the along the river by boats. If the Chinese wanted to, the terrorists, they could have machine gunned the boats. It was a basic. We were living on compo rations, and the Malays were living on what Malays live on.
Were you patrolling?
Well, we did patrols around the area, but basically there was we were, I suppose, platoon plus. We had a centralized feeding, and we put up our own bashes and knocked them down as we moved on. I think during our time there, we surveyed about 5 or 6 miles.
How many Malays were there in the survey party?
Well, I think about 5 or 6, that was all. They were all nice guys, and you know, they all spoke English, and it was something different than sort of chasing terrorists. But it was, you know, we still had the leeches and the mosquitoes and everything else, so it wasn't a sort of holiday camp. And we also, of course, at this period of time, did several patrols and things around Chennai and the area, but we found nothing or very little.
Were these patrols on the basis of information, or were they on the basis
likely spots?
The deduction then, rather than
deduction, looking for food, storage of food. We had a number of interpreters with us by this time, generally Malay. Again, a lot of the information they gave us was what they thought we'd like to hear. Run really worried that one was never getting contact with these wretched terrorists. So, and this went on for 2 or 3 months around the Chennai area. Then we went up to Kuala Krau, which was north of Temelo, about, I don't know how many miles, 20 miles? Went up by armoured train. There was no track up there, so all we had was around Kuala Krau was a couple of, what are now one-tonners. I think they were 1,500 weight trucks in those days, and we had an armoured car. Two armoured cars, and they used to travel, get their wheels over the railway, and go up and down the railway from time to time. And on the way up, there was an estate, rubber estate, can't remember the name, and we had a platoon in there. And we carried out operations in the Kuala Krau area. The reason we'd been sent there was that a passenger train, had stopped the night at Kuala Krau and had been burnt out
by the terrorists.
I think they shot the headman.
I'm going to ask you about the level of activity on the enemy side in that area. So there'd been one incident.
We did go out. We received information after we'd been there about 2 or 3 weeks. Mm. And we went out one day. Took a patrol out, and there was information that on a stream just inside the forest, about 3 miles from the railway, it was fairly well, we were given a very good description. We went there. I was following at the back of the patrol, and we came across the camp, and there were 3 people in it, and we shot 2, and the other one ran away.
Was this the incident where you said a chap called Ten Banton was
effective? No, I'll be bringing that in a later one. This one was, actually the patrol was commanded by a Captain Speller, who was the company 2IC.
On that occasion, do you know what the source of the information was?
It was a Chinese, it came through a Chinese squatter, or I'm not certain how many Chinese squatters valued their life. If they're getting enough money, they most probably give you the information. Otherwise, I don't think they've given you very much. That's my feeling about the whole situation.
And the armoured cars?
They were...
What sort of car were the cars?
I don't know what they were. They were sort of... they were regular... Well, they were what you would call a ferret armoured car, but they seemed to be a bit different to the ones we had in the army in the United Kingdom. They might have been Australian, for all I knew.
Did they have turret?
They had a sort of turret where the commander sat looking out with half a dozen wireless aerials.
Do you know who they were from, what regiment they were from?
I think they were our own, I think. They were one Devons.
Attached attached to the Debs?
Yeah, attached to the Debs, was it Debs drivers? As far as I know, well, I know, I've got a picture of one, and it's a Debs driver in it. Yeah. They used to go up and down to this estate here, where we had the platoon.
Was there any trouble on the estate?
No, they were all Tamils.
Yeah.
We never had any trouble. As far as I know, there were obviously communists around. We never got any, ever. The Tamils would not tell us anything. They would just shrug their shoulders and look at you. And we were up at Quala Crow. We lost one soldier drowned in the river. Quala Crow was not a bad little place. It was a sort of sub-area administrative place, and it had a headman, but he'd been bumped off, and I think it had a post office.
You said that the headman had been shot when they burnt the train.
Yeah, when they burnt the train, yeah.
Did they kill anybody else?
I think they might have done, but I can't honestly say yea or nay. Information wasn't passed around, and
now. When you went out on the operation against the bandit camp, do you remember what you were told in the briefing before you went on that?
I think it was pretty haphazard. You know, you did get very haphazard on these things because so many times you went out, there was nothing there. I think we were told, we were given a briefing. We would follow this track, it would divide, we were to take the right hand or the left hand, I cannot remember which, track. We'd go in the forest, and the bandit camp was just beside the track where the stream crossed it.
So they got access
to fresh water. Where they got their food from, we don't know.
How many men were involved in this operation?
Oh, I think about 8 or 10.
What was the camp like? Was it the standard?
Here it was 2 or 3 little lean-tos, not like the big camps, which had lecture rooms or lecture bashes and that sort of thing. It was just a little camp. If you like, there may have been further up the track a bigger camp, for all I know, but we were only told about this and we got 2 out of 3 and we were pretty proud of ourselves at having got that.
They were
at-at bashes? Well, at-at, yeah.
And the what happened to the 2 dead?
We took them back. I think we went off in one of the Chinese squatter areas and commandeered a couple, several, and they were brought back on bamboo poles.
What did they look like, these people? Nailed.
Chinese, dirty, scruffy. They'd obviously eaten. They weren't scrawny. They had khaki trousers and sort of khaki shirts, and we recovered. I can't remember what type of weapons. We recovered 2 weapons, so it was a pretty genuine shootout.
Any papers or anything?
I think there were. Yeah, I didn't actually go through it. There was a sergeant on the patrol as well, and he was doing all that. I was just sort of. I went along to carry the Bren gun. there you are. I'm not certain if we didn't go back to Tamalo or what after that. We were up at Quala Crow for a month anyway. Then we were alerted. Whether we went from Quala Crow or Tamalo, I cannot remember. A C Company patrol had been attacked, and one of our soldiers was missing. There was a patrol of 6 under a sergeant. And we were alerted. About last light, get on the armoured train and go up and get off at the where this patrol had gone in. And try and find this soldier, which was a Lance Corporal Bantam, which we did find, actually. He'd been covered up and left by the sergeant in charge of the patrol. He was pretty badly wounded. We got him back to the armoured train, and I'm not certain if there was a doctor there. There was certainly a medical orderly. And eventually he was evacuated to Singapore, but he died several days or weeks later. And that night, we had got into the area. There were two patrols, about 14 each. I was in one. And we were here, the Chinese, because they knew they really got hold of a British patrol. And they were blowing bugles. And there was an awful lot of noise. And it was pretty big. There was pretty big stuff, you know, around these Chinese. So I clutched my brain gun with fear. And the next morning we found the Chinese camp, which was about half a mile, three quarters of a mile from where Banton had been hit. He'd obviously been hit by guards who were guarding the track towards. It was all in overgrown rubber and squatter site type stuff. Because you see, there was no going up there. There was on the right of the railway, there was no road. They had the river, and it was a pretty wild area. I mean, I shouldn't think a DO had ever been up there, or the police. And anyway, we went into the camp. They'd gone, and I mean, it was the biggest camp we saw. It certainly held 250. And it had proper latrines, and it had a drill square. It had a tailor's shop, and there was actually a tailor's treadmill sewing machine in there. And there were several uniforms, but we found no weapons and no ammunition. A certain amount of food. There were several, maybe four or five sacks of food. But then if there were 200 in the camp, that wouldn't be very much. Anyway, we destroyed it. That smashed the sewing machine up. And we patrolled the area, but we had no contact. But there were lots of places where the communists had been in that area. They might have been there since during the war. The camp was certainly the best organized and proper camp I saw used by the terrorists.
Were there any defense works around it?
No, you see, they generally, what they did, they knew jolly well that the British soldier would come along one of the tracks. It no good going through the sort of, if you like, the jungle, because it was all grown up. It make an awful noise, cutting and pushing, and the average British soldier noise is pretty high. So there were about four or five tracks. Now, where these bandits had gone, we do not know. All right, we didn't know then, and I don't think anybody ever knew. They most probably, I think, they used to scatter, and then they would have a series of rendezvous near pertinent places. Perhaps that's not the word. They'd have permanent features, I meant to say. And that was it. We didn't get anybody else there.
Seems rather strange that being attacked as they were by such a relatively small force, they didn't decide to make a fight of it.
Well, I personally, I didn't believe the sergeant's story. I reckon the sergeant was wrong. I think his job was to get out to the railway line and get his radio working. But then I have to say that the radios we had in Malaya in 48, 49 were appalling. And 9/10 of the time, they never worked properly.
That's just due to...
Oh, they were rotten sets. And they